I found Americans don't like to be challenged. I found more so Christians don't like to be challenged. Christians like to settle in their thinking, and they don't want anybody to rock that boat. That's the truth. I'm being honest. All right. Now let me get into the service. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. I could tell I've lost y'all already. When I go to heaven, I have to answer to God. And I plan on doing so with a clear conscience. And there's a lot of apathy in the world. And the apathy from time to time tries to creep into the church. And we have to break that back of apathy. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, for those of you that don't like talking about the Holy Ghost, don't worry, I'm not going to. But I do want to preach to you on this title, what is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? And you want to pray for us, Carter?
Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for everyone coming here today, God. I pray, Lord, that our minds could be clear, Lord, and Lord, that we could just give our minds to you, God, and, Lord, that we could focus, God, not be distracted, God, by anything happen in our room or anything happen later today, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to all of us, God. I pray, Lord, that you have something for all of us here. I pray, Lord, that whenever it is and whatever it is, God, I pray, Lord, that we take it and put it into our lives and hear Pastor today, God, and I pray, Lord, that you give him the strength, God, to bring this word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. I bought my wife that fancy, cool jacket so she would wear it today, and so all eyes would be on her, and you'd forget about half of what I said. That way I don't have a mob aligned outside. You know, from time to time, my spirit gets highly agitated. Things of the world, spirits. I was very agitated by reading about the attack on Kyiv this morning. Pastor Sergey sent me video. The one video, there was a pretty loud explosion not far from the church. The video camera caught it. And then some, be nice, R. Derry, be nice. Some kind person decided to send me a message this morning to let me know how wrong I was in my support of Ukraine. And so I just get agitated sometimes. And then I ain't gonna lie to you. I get agitated at you. You know why? Because I love you and some of you just won't change. And it agitates me. Is that okay to be honest? You'd feel the same way about your kids, I hope. I don't want people in the same place for years and years and years. I want people to be victorious. So I want to preach to you on that title, what is Pentecost? We read the first two verses. Let's jump up to verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Did you ever realize that when he said, I'll give you power, he didn't say, I'll give you power so you can take your coat and fling it around in circles and people fall and people drive for hours just to see you? No, he said, I'll give you power so you can go be a witness. I'm giving you that opportunity after service today. And then in Acts 1 and 12, it said, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Now, a Sabbath day's journey is about 2,000 cubits, which is about 3/4 of a mile. Doesn't sound like a lot. Well, if you got to walk 3/4 of a mile in the wintertime, it's a lot. If you got to walk 3/4 of a mile in 90-degree heat, it's a lot. If you got to walk 3/4 of a mile and you got a bunion on your feet, it's a lot. The fact is, when he told them to go to the upper room, He told them there's going to be a small journey involved. He said, walk, drive, take a bus, take a plane, a horse, whatever you got to take, but get there. Whatever you do, he said, get there. Go was not a suggestion. Go was a command. And so I want to point some things out to you, and you may have to follow along with me for a few moments. Number one, this wasn't planned. Wasn't planned. We plan to go to church on Sundays. We don't plan for 7 days of prayer. We plan for Sunday morning service, but I didn't plan for link group this week. But when Jesus said to go and wait for the promise of the Father, he did not give them an advance notice so they could plan for it, so they could be prepared. Why? Because everything about the gospel is not about convenience. We just are. He didn't tell them to go ahead and fundraise first, raise some money so you can get there. There was no time frame. He didn't say from 10 o'clock a.m. to noon, we're going to be getting together and having a time in the Lord. But at noon, we're shutting it off because we got dinner plans. At noon, we're shutting it off, though. Don't go long. My God, how long is he going to preach? I got things to do. This is not what Pentecost was. Pentecost was, I don't know what you got planned this afternoon, but I want you to go to the upper room and I want you to stay there. And I want you to have an 7 or 8 day prayer meeting. No worship practice, Brother Tyler. He didn't say, have worship practice first. Make sure everybody sounds good. Make sure everybody's on key. I'm not against those things. These things are all matter. They matter. But I'm just trying to show you how far we have come or how far we have gone from what Pentecost actually was. And last but not least, it certainly was not convenient. To upend your schedule, to change things at a moment's notice. Boy, I tell you what, you want to know what pressure is? Try being a pastor and put out a call for a 7 day prayer meeting. I could feel the gripes through the phone line. I could feel the frustrations. I could feel the irritation. People get irritated. You know why? Because they don't want to be put in a spot where they got to say no, and then you're just going to get up there and talk about people that didn't come to prayer meeting. But I didn't, I don't think. In a roundabout way, I might have a little bit, but not directly. See, even some of your faces right now. I'm ready for it. Don't worry. You don't scare me at all. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm getting ready to do something the world has never witnessed before. I'm getting ready to change the face of your future. And in order for that to happen, I need you to listen to me, to trust me, to go, and to wait. And notice, just in case you wondered, he did not say how long they would be there. We're in America. One of the questions I get sometimes from people that come, how long are your services? I've heard that question a lot. And if you would be honest today, some of you get a little irritated when we go beyond 11:30, 11:40. My God, how long is he going to go today? Well, Paul preached, or Peter, whoever it was, till the man fell asleep in the balcony, fell down and died. And guess what? Nobody blamed the preacher. They just healed him, brought him back to life, and went on with service. Pentecost was not about having it your way or my way. Pentecost superseded schedules. Pentecost was not about any one person. What do you mean by that? I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. If we as a church are going to have our own Pentecost experience, it's not going to happen because you choose to stay home when we're trying to have a move of God. It's not about your schedule. But what we do in America is we make it about our schedules. I knew it'd get a little tight. Don't worry. I was already prepared for it. What I'm saying is, you cannot be a part of Pentecost until you're willing to set you aside to be a part of the upper room experience. It wasn't convenient. It superseded schedules. Pentecost is not about feeling. Now, this is important. It's about preparation. Let me explain that to you. We've got to get out of the habit of going home after we reach the pinnacle of, well, I feel good now. Or just to that point where you start to feel a little better than what you felt when you came in here, so we're happy and we check out. That's not what Pentecost was. It's not about the feeling. It's about the preparation for your future. You guys are going to make me preach today. I'm going to present this as a question. Honest question. I want you to listen to me now. Some of you haven't listened since you've been in church, so listen to me for a minute. How are you going to answer God when you stand before him in judgment? Honest question. And how are you going to explain that you did more preparation for your daily lifestyle and for your job and for your career and for everything else than you did for your own relationship with the Lord? How are you going to explain that? How will you explain that? Pentecost was about preparing. Much of the modern church doesn't want Pentecost. What they want is blessing without the wrestling. That's what much of the modern church wants. We've become a give-me society, but that's not what Pentecost was. That is not what happened on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is not just a move of his Spirit. It is an absolute, literal, total shaking of your house. Pentecost, that first outpouring, it shook the foundation of the world. It shook the foundation of their lives. Some of them never went back to the things they left from that point on. The greatest struggle in the church is people that won't let their foundation be shaken. They won't let God mess with some things in their life. They try with all of their might to hold on. And eventually what they do is, well, I got to go. I'm just trying to find another church. What they're saying is, I need to find somewhere that's easier and safer for me. But Pentecost was not about easy or safe. It wasn't about convenience. It wasn't about schedules. Everything had to change for those 120 people that were in the upper room. I at least said to you, we're going to have 7 days of prayer. I didn't say we're going to start praying every day until God does something. I probably would have had less. We've had a great crowd last two nights. Now watch. Acts 4 and 31, it says, and when they had prayed together, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. You notice how many times that word together is used? You don't just get together when you want to get together. You don't just look for friends when you want a friend. But together is together. As a body, we operate together, not just when it's convenient for you. I got a very timid amen out of that one. Pentecost, I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you what Pentecost was. Pentecost was an act of togetherness. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, the word shaken, it means to agitate. Now, you can look at that one of two ways. They have on a washing machine what's called an agitator. What does it do? Well, it loosens up the clothing and the dirt. You throw a little water, a little soap in there, and it just agitates things a little bit because you want clean clothes to come out. There's not a person in this room, especially not a woman, that would be okay throwing some water in the washing machine, some soap, your clothes, and it doesn't move. Why? Because you want clean clothes. But we don't move and we think we're clean. You see, Pentecost, the place was shaken, the Bible says. Now, some people view that as the house was literally shaken. I don't see that at all. It means to topple or to destroy, to disturb, or even to incite. I'm good at that, inciting some things in people. It's a quality of mine. Shake together. Or the things which cannot be shaken, to shake them too. So you see, at Pentecost, what happened was the whole house was shaken. I know that they're out of the upper room at this point. Don't try to challenge me theologically. I know where I'm at. We're not far outside of that. And the Holy Ghost is still being poured out. That was just the initial outpouring. But it's still happening. They're being refilled. But what's God doing? This is what Pentecost is. He was shaking some things up, stirring some things up. He was agitating some people. He was inciting. Do you know what happens when you get agitated at the preacher? God is trying to do something in your life. When you get annoyed because I wish he just stopped saying that over and over again, that's exactly what Pentecost is about, to agitate you. In order to loosen some of the junk in our lives that holds on. Now, I should get some amens from some of the ladies here. But I'm not quite certain. Well, there might be a few of you. Forgive me. I'm not quite certain that there's many women that would be happy pulling the clothes out of the washing machine. And they're still filthy. You're like, oh my God, I've washed these pants 3 times. And you know what we normally do? Get mad at the wearer. I told you not to wear your good pants changing the tractor tire. Can I ask you a question? Why do we think, I'm being honest, please just work with me for a minute. Why do we think God is pleased when we leave the washing machine on a Sunday morning and all the filth is still there? You see, at best we got the name on the sign, but Pentecost didn't happen because there was no agitating. There was no, the Spirit might have moved to the sense of where we feel the Holy Ghost. We might have jumped a little bit to the song, but that's not what God wants, and that's not what Pentecost was about. It wasn't about just a Holy Ghost experience. No, it was about him shaking all the dust and the dirt and the filth loose. It was about him transforming lives in the middle of that shaking. It was about him agitating some spirits, confronting some things, in order for God to take the church forward. The church has to go forward. We can't get stuck. Anybody ever have the washing machine break in the middle of a cycle? How frustrating is that? Because you didn't finish the job. How do you think God feels? God wants to finish what he started in every one of our lives. And when we won't bend, when we won't break, when we won't move, when we won't apply ourselves, when we won't inconvenience our schedules. I'm going to say this. This is the only time I'm going to say it. I can't speak for all pastors, but when I call 7 days of prayer, it's because I felt it from the Holy Ghost. Not for you to have any excuse in the world. None. Grab Taco Bell and get here. They're putting a new one in Ashtabula, just in case you wonder. So you, if you drive that way, you can stop there when it's built to for the next 7 days of prayer. No, it's not in the mall. Are you going to let me preach? Or do I have to pander? And so this whole agitating stuff that happened on Pentecost, this whole stirring, this whole shaking, we read that and we're like, oh, wow, God shook the building. He didn't shake the building. He shook the people. God doesn't care to shake the building. He wants the people to be shaken. That's what he wants. He wants our lives to be shaken. Then that's not a bad thing until we refuse to let go. And so this is the very reason Moses was not content with the cloud in the doorway. God shows up in the cloud. Moses says, yep, that was an okay service, but that's not what I came for, God. I came for some shaking. See, you could tell Moses was a pastor. The rest of the church, they're okay. Hey, let's go home, man. That was great. Posted on Facebook. God moved. The pastor's like, I don't even know what they're talking about. Sin is still in Israel. People haven't repented yet. Nothing has changed. I still feel the same ugly in the spirit that I feel. And so he went to God and he said, God, I don't want to stop here. I don't want to stop at noontime, God. I don't want to stop just because the clock is ticking. I don't want to stop just because we got other things to do. He's saying, God, I need you. I need you to do more. I need to see your glory. I need to understand some deeper things. I need to see some deeper things. I need you to shake this place more and to agitate these people until we get some change. That is what Pentecost was. And that's what happened at the Azusa Street outpouring. Richard Seymour, they prayed, he and 10 others. They prayed for 10 days, it's rumored, was how long they prayed. 10 days until there began to be some shaking. You see, they didn't have softball and baseball and basketball and track and hockey and golf and all those things back then. Now we got it all. We have enough to keep us busy. We don't need you, God. We got enough to keep. And God knows we want to keep our kids busy. Can I just preach for a second? Man, I didn't plan on going this deep. I just want to talk about shouldn't we be more concerned about our children's prayer life than we do a trophy? Shouldn't we be more concerned about them going to heaven than we are college? I'm preaching for you here. Take me outside and tar and feather me. I am guilty. I want your children to go to heaven. I don't want them to go and be cast into outer darkness where the Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth every single moment of the day. I don't want them to experience what the rich man experienced when he went to hell and he was in torment, the Bible says, and that wasn't even judgment yet. Because the Bible tells us in Revelations that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So tar me and feather me if I want your children to be saved. And so prayer preceded the shaking. The shaking was a direct result of prayer. Let me say that one more time. The shaking was not a direct result of showing up. The shaking was not a direct result of being faithful and giving your tithe. The shaking was a result of prayer. And there are times, according to the wise Solomon Ecclesiastes, where there's a time for war, and then there's a time for peace. And I want to tell you, this is not the time for peace. This is the time for war. Russia just developed a new hypersonic missile. They say it carries a nuclear payload big enough to wipe the entire state of Texas off the map of the United States. Now, why would you develop that if you weren't going to use it at some point? I got news for you. At some point, we are going to be the generation of nuclear war. And I'll tell you my opinion, I think we are. There's too much instability and unbalance. What am I saying? When Pentecost came about, the world was heading in the wrong direction. The wrong direction as a whole. Now watch, I know what you're thinking. I know some of you want to get ahead of me. And you're going to say, yeah, but we're heading the wrong direction now. Yeah, but it's different. Because then they had nothing but Jesus. You say, well, isn't he enough? He can only get around so much. He and his 12. But when the Holy Ghost is poured out, now it becomes a global harvest field. It becomes global evangelism. There are global outpourings. I messaged Pastor Sergey and I said, did you, because several of their members, their apartment buildings were hit last night. And I said, did you guys still have church? I thought, well, maybe they didn't. There was so much that went on last night. And he sent me videos of the church singing, shouting on the platform, worshiping God. Not right now, but you may have to play for me in a minute. I'm going to find a nice way to say this. If you clap, I hope you don't find a reason to miss church on Wednesday night. If you heard the excuses, listen to me, you'd be right where I am if you heard the excuses I've heard over 24 years. You'd know why I feel the way I feel. You'd be praying for me. You'd say, Pastor, let's not have 7 days. We need 14 just for you. Honestly, I knocked my mirror off my car. And some of you are going to get really upset at me over this one. Some of you are going to get upset at me. And the furnace went out. Now me, I say this. My answer is the same all the time. Well, we have heat at the church. Well, I got to fix it. Wonderful. Fix it after church. God, take the dog to the vet. Let the dog lay there. It laid there all night long already. Let the dog lay there a little longer. Now, some of you are all upset. I'm not letting my dog lay there. Some of you are nervous. You're like, God, don't mention mine. I've heard everything, Brother Brett, everything. That's why people have gotten wise. That's why they don't call anymore. That's why I didn't give you an excuse. I just stayed home. Listen, how can we... Remember the Bible says that Nineveh will judge his generation? How do we stand before God and say, I didn't come, when there are people who just faced about 600 ballistic missiles and hypersonic missiles and 800 drones, all most centered in the city of Kyiv? The video's all out there already, and they went to church. How do we stand before God and answer that? America is at a precipice right now. And I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost that the siphoning, the separation, it's happening. People that are quitting are not quitting because something's wrong with the church. They're quitting because they're too worldly. And what God is doing is the Bible says he'll separate the sheep from the goats. And you say, well, you act like I feel the pushback in my spirit. We don't like to have our excuses taken away. It upsets us. It frustrates us because our excuses are the hill that we stand and die on. You just don't understand. I know. I'm a robot. I was made in a factory. I've never had feelings, I've never had struggles, I've never had emotions. Man said to me years ago, well, you have to care. You're the pastor. I said, no, I don't. I don't have to care. I don't have to be here. I can do what some of you do. Just go make my own life. I'm serious. This is not going over the way I planned for it to go, Brennan. This is Pentecost Sunday. This is what Pentecost was. It was the most inconvenient moment in the history for those 120 people. Immediately change the schedule. Is anybody here, don't raise your hand, going to immediately change your schedule for outreach after service? Don't raise your hands. Are you going to be labeled as self-righteous? Don't do that. Trying to protect you. Let everybody think you're mean like they already do, Diane. Just kidding. I was defending you. Laura, come play. Because I'm not done yet. Tyler's over there sweating bullets. He's praying. He's in a prayer meeting at this very moment. He's like, God, change his heart and his mind. So listen, when that shaking happened in Acts chapter 5, put verse 18 on the screen for me, if you would. 5 and 18. Just be ready. I'll tell you when to start strumming those notes. And that's not the verse I wanted. Oh, 418. You should have figured that out. Hurry up, Chris. We're all standing here. Well, I'm standing here. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Go to the next verse. That's still not my verse. All right, hold on a second here, folks. Hold on one second. I'm going to have it for you here in one moment. I don't know where we went wrong today. Put verse 29 up. So they were threatened by the authorities, and watch what they did. And they said, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now watch this. They didn't complain. They didn't pray for safety. They didn't alter their course. They just said, God, give us boldness so we can continue the way we are right now. This was a people that did not want a nice sermon. They wanted Pentecost. It was war on the church at that time. God was shaking the gates of hell. God was taking death out of the picture altogether. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. The trajectory of mankind was being transformed at Pentecost. Some people like to spend their life focusing on tongues because they're afraid to give God control. It wasn't about tongues, even though tongues happened to all of them. All 120. There was no translator in the upper room. And there was no translator in the streets. But that's not what Pentecost was about. It was about the church having the boldness that they could not have before. It was about the church being equipped in a way they were not equipped before. It wasn't about bragging rights. It wasn't about sportsmanship. It wasn't. God never wanted us to boast and brag that, well, we're Pentecostal. It wasn't a one or done event. It wasn't even about Jesus filling us with his spirit solely. It was about equipping the church so we don't become slaves to modern day answers. And I'm going to explain that. It was about equipping the church so we were no longer held captive. So when you had a problem, God gave you a way out of it. So when you needed answers, God had answers for you. When you found your life under assault, God said there's a prayer room where you can change everything by moving heaven and earth all together at the same time. Pentecost was about changing the trajectory of life, stirring up everything in their lives. Those 120 people were single-handedly tasked with changing the world once he empowered them with the Holy Ghost from on high. You'd have to be me. For years and years and years. Go ahead and play for me now. Please. To hear people talk with defeat. Hear people want to give up because things in their life aren't changing. But yet they won't change. Yet they won't do things different. saw some, I don't know, what would you call them? Social media vigilantes. You got to love all these people that they're on social media. They got all the answers. And they posted some video. My brother sent me this stupid video. And some guy walks up. Of course, he had to have someone videoing him. You can always tell somebody's lack of sincerity when they got a camera following them. Here you go, homeless man. Let me give you a sandwich. Click like and subscribe. That's exactly what it is. And he confronts this pastor coming out of the church. He said, "Pastor, I just got a question for you." He goes, "What are you doing for the elderly? My mother's been tithing to this church for 10 years and she ain't got nothing." Video camera rolling. Him and his act of heroism. "She ain't got nothing." And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, well, first of all, because you're a fool and you don't understand tithing. That's the first thing. Secondly, she's done it for 10 years and she ain't complained about it. Here you are, some vigilante, going to show up and act like you care. If you care so much, then go ahead and fix her kitchen sink for her. Don't make her pay for it herself. You care about so much, go ahead and give her $100 for gas. She's your mother, right? But you get worldly people who have no clue and understanding of how God works in the spirit. That's what Pentecost is about. It was about taking away our handicap. And our handicap was, it is the way it is. But God said, no longer is it the way it is. No longer do you have to suffer by disease or sickness. No longer does death have a hold on you. No longer do you have to bow to the spirit of fear and depression and discouragement. That's what Pentecost was about. It was about fixing and changing, giving us the ability. He said, "You shall be endued with power from on high." And I'll tell you what, if you understand that, you'll be in prayer at 7 o'clock tonight, especially if you got issues in your life, because you know I have been endued with power from on high, and I'm going to come against this stuff that's been coming against me. I'm going to come against this stuff that's been coming against my family. I'm going to come against this junk that's been hovering over me for the last 10 years. We're going to break the back of this spirit that has dominated our city. That's what Pentecost is about. I'm not you, Brother Johnny. But if I was, I'd be speaking in tongues from sunup till sundown. Now, maybe you are. You know why? I tell the Holy Ghost just flow through me. I don't care what they said. You have the final say, God. Listen to me, but hold on a second. But we can go on and on and on. Do you know why we're having 7 days of prayer? Because I'm telling you, God's trying to break something. And I messaged Bishop up and I said, "I need some names, man." I said, I need blah, 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 blah. He said, "What's going on?" I said, "Nothing. It's just been a long year. A lot of loss. A lot of discouragement, people dealing with a lot of illness, a lot of sickness, blah, 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 blah." I said, "I just called 7 days of prayer." And he said, have a show of hands. He said, "Have people fasting every day. Have them raise their hand. Who's going to fast Monday? Who's going to fast Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday until we get through this prayer? Get them involved." So I'm not going to do that right now. But we need people to fast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But I got a question for you. If you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then why are you still dealing with defeatism and discouragement? And why are you still dealing with depression? That's what Pentecost was about, to break the back of that garbage in your life. But you got to let the Holy Ghost work in you and through you and for you. You shall be endued with power from on high. You know what happened? You know what should happen next year in Easter time? We should have about 4 cards up here. And they should all be visitors. That's what should happen. Now, I don't mean this in a cruel way. I'm honest. But I don't deal with depression. I get upset sometimes, and I get discouraged sometimes. We all get discouraged. But I'm not letting no depression have a hold on me. How come I'm not depressed? I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest. Why am I not depressed? How come my kids aren't depressed? I don't think any one of my kids are depressed. I can tell by the way they are every day. They're not depressed. Huh? I don't believe my wife is depressed. She might be depressed with me sometimes, but I don't think she's depressed. Depression is a vile spirit. And when he said, go into the upper room, why? He said, listen, he said, you're going to have to put everything aside. For those of you that weren't in here, let me say it one more time. He said, go. Right now, drop everything and go. And wait there and pray until something changes. And you'll know when it's going to change. In America, we don't have time to wait on God anymore. That is our problem right there. Single-handedly, that's our issue. But he gave us the Holy Ghost. We have something that most other churches don't have. I'm not saying that as a criticism. It's being poured out everywhere. It's happening, but people still don't always understand the depth of what God did for them. The day of Pentecost was about the world being changed forever from that moment on. And then as the apostles begin to die off, Jesus is gone. The landscape changes. We slip into the dark ages. Slowly it builds. The Catholic Church gets their grip on the world. Don't tell me a church that tortured millions of people is a godly church. Yeah, I know some of y'all are afraid to say that. I'm not. I didn't say the people are all heathens. There's great people in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, you don't pray to statues. You don't pray to Mary. She is not a deity. She was a woman that was tasked with carrying the baby Jesus and giving birth to him. She has her place in history. You don't pray to her. You know, we do. I'll tell you what we do. We pray. We get together. We pray. I got depression in my life. I pray. God, help me. I'm almost done. Hold on a second. Some of you, I'd call you by name if I'd get away with it. Some of y'all don't want to leave your house half the time anymore. I just don't want to leave my house. I'm just in my anxiety. Then break that anxiety. That's what Pentecost is about. Why don't you have a prayer meeting in your home and pray the Holy Ghost down and let the fire of God do something in your home. Don't let it go on. Don't let it go on because you don't have to. You don't have to. You are not subject to the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. When God filled you with the Holy Ghost, he gave you more than this world could ever come against you with. He gave you the ace card, the trump card. And when those things are, when they're trying to rear their head, you got to know when it's time to pray. You got to know when you got to shut your schedule. I don't care what's going on in your life. You know how many times have I had to leave my grass unmowed? That's not a big deal. Then why don't you come because you're mowing? It was not a big deal. I hate leaving my lawn unmowed. Now I got great kids now and they tackle that for me. Oh, a penny. Those are becoming very valuable. I'm saving it. I'm serious. I'm keeping it. It'll be worth some money someday. He said, go and wait for the promise of the Father. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days. How many days? Don't worry about it. Just keep praying. Well, how much longer? Don't worry about it. Just keep praying. Listen, if you trust God, you'll keep praying. If you trust God, you won't give up because you know God's not a liar. I preached you about a month ago. It is written. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you or forsake you. He'll show up. He will show up. He will show up. That's what Pentecost is. Hold on, I'm almost done. Now, you're going to get upset at me, I'm sorry. Now, let me preface this by saying, I'm not against these things, and it's okay sometimes to take a pause to do them. I'm talking about letting them run your life. We're in 2026, I got to be very careful what I say. Pentecost didn't wait for 4-H to be over. I'm going to strut my stuff. Pentecost didn't wait for the car to be fixed. Pentecost didn't wait for the house to be sold. Pentecost didn't wait for vacation to be over. Pentecost didn't wait until they were already there for church. God forbid you have a move of the Holy Ghost in your car on the way here.
God forbid you have a move of the Holy Ghost in the morning when you're getting up and you're getting ready for church and you just start worshiping the Lord and speaking in tongues and praising God and doing whatever. God forbid. It's no wonder some people are dealing with depression and discouragement, because it's in your home. Break the back of that junk in your household. I told these young people a week or two ago, you start praying, you have been empowered. You start praying for your families. Start praying in your home. I know you feel alone. Elijah felt alone. Hold on a second. Elijah said, God, he said, I am alone. And God said, I've got 7,000 people that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. I realize they might not all be right here in this location, but they're spread around. What I'm saying to you is, you're not alone. 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 You got the Holy Ghost. You got everything. That's what Pentecost was about.
Amen.
You got marital problems? There's only one reason marriages can't be fixed. Only one, one alone. There's no other reason. Don't argue with me. You are dead wrong, and I'm not joking, if you don't want to fix it. It's the only reason. The only reason. There's no other reason. I'm going to fix it. You know why I'm going to fix it? Because I'm not going to become a statistic. That's why. You know why I'm going to fix it? Because I know there are people looking to me. And they're looking to the health of our marriage. So I'm going to fix it. And that's not just for me. You know why I'm going to fix it? Because I want my children to have good, healthy, prosperous marriages. And I want them to know, the moment you give those vows, you gave it forever. It's not always easy. We know that. There are days you want to walk away. We know that. But you know what? We have the Holy Ghost. And we go, we say, God, teach me to be a better man. Don't pray for her. Pray for you. Teach me to be more godly. Teach me to be a better father. Teach me to be a better preacher. And then she has to go do the same thing. Stop bad-mouthing your husband. Pray for him. You have the Holy Ghost. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. My God, you have the Holy Ghost. Pray for that man. That's what Pentecost is. It's the ability, with the help of God, to change the circumstances in your life. We need to root out and tear down. We need to let God agitate some things in our church. I'm fighting for you, folks. I'm fighting for you with everything I've got. I'm fighting for you with all my heart. I know I might say things that rub you the wrong way, but I would fight you to the death. But I need you to fight a little bit yourself. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then pray through until you're full of the Holy Ghost. Don't leave this building today. You say, well, I haven't had much of a desire lately, Pastor. Then get up here and pray till that Holy Ghost flows through you again. And ask God, rebirth in me the desire. Because on the day of Pentecost, he said, no more are you beholden to these things. No more. Don't let Satan cause you to think that your family, your children, your home cannot be restored. God can do it all, and you have the ability with the power of God that dwells inside of you. Got Jesus Christ in you. And so I'm gonna finish. Acts 5:15. It says, insomuch they brought forth the sick into the streets, and they laid them on the beds and the couches, that at least a shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Could you imagine, Alina, being so full of the Holy Ghost that when you walk in wherever you are around your friends and people, want, they just feel drawn to you? That's what it is. They feel drawn. You know what it is? They feel something. They don't know what it is. It's the Holy Ghost. You're not a victim. Don't you let the enemy victimize you. You are mighty through Christ, through the tearing down of strongholds. It doesn't matter what age you are. It does not matter your age. If you've got the Holy Ghost, and you say, well, Pastor, I need to be refilled, then pray through and ask him, say, fill me again. Renew me again. Restore me again. Rulers of darkness of this world, that's fear. Principalities and powers from on high, that's being overwhelmed. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That shouldn't scare you. You know what that should do? You should take your jacket off, take your tie off, and say, devil, I'm going to have me a prayer meeting. And you're not going to keep your hands on my family and on my home. Listen, you're not a nobody. I don't care what background you came from. You're not a nobody. You are mighty through Christ. You are mighty through Christ. When he has filled you with his spirit, he has given you every tool and every weapon that you need. Somebody in this house has got to go home. After outreach and link group and everything else is going on, you got to go home. And you got to take your home back. It can't end it. Come on. You got to go home and take your home back. If I were you, Brother Chris, in the pink jacket, that guy. If I were you, I'd be sprinkling oil all over my house and say, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I release that sickness from my wife's body. I take authority over it. Stop waiting for the preacher to do it. You're going to kill us. You have the power yourself. Stop waiting for some sermon to rock your world. Shake the dust off your feet. Get up, lift your hands, and call upon God. I'm finished. I gotta stop. God gave us Pentecost. He didn't give us religious institutions. He gave us Pentecost so we could have the upper hand. He gave us Pentecost so we would not be bound by excuses. He gave us Pentecost so we could be victorious. I want you to come to this front if you would, if God has just stirred you a little bit. Come to this front. Listen to me, young people. This is not a criticism or a rebuke. The devil wants you to remain in the valley of, oh, my parents, they'll never serve God. He wants you to remain in that valley. But you are mighty. I want every young person here under the age of 18 to repeat after me right now. I'm going to watch you now. I'm going to call you out if you don't. I'm watching. I'm waiting until you all get settled. I want you to repeat after me. I'm looking. I'm waiting for, repeat after me. I am mighty through God. Everybody else wants to go home at some point. I am mighty through God. See how hard it is to say? To the pulling down of strongholds. See, it's hard. The devil don't even want you speaking those words, because as you speak it, you'll start to believe it. And when you start to believe it, you'll go home and you'll start praying, I take authority over this household in the name of Jesus Christ. Not because of me, but because I'm mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. I claim my mother and my father for the kingdom of God. I claim my grandchildren for the kingdom of God. I claim my children for the kingdom of God. Here's the last thing I'm going to say. I got to get out of here. Not leave. Something kind of struck me. There you go, sing that lightly. Something kind of hit me, Brother Tyler, when I was reading this. He sent them to the upper room, but not all of them. Most of them were already there. That never dawned on me. Now watch. I believe God was trying to complete the puzzle before he could pour out his spirit. Stop talking about the person beside you, in front of you. Stop bad-mouthing them. Stop gossiping them about them. You need them in order for Pentecost to be fulfilled in your life. Stop picking favorites. Stop shunning this person or that person. You need them. You need them for Pentecost to be fulfilled in your life. Husband, you need your wife. Wife, you need your husband. Husband and wife, you need your children. Children, you need your mom and dad, whether they're in church or not. And if we're going to have a move of God, if we're going to understand Pentecost, we got to understand they were together with one accord in one place. Jesus, I pray right now, gracious Father, that you let your glory, God, overshadow this place. Not just a touch or a tingle. Let your power and let your authority, God, be revealed. Give these young people the boldness to pray. Come on, young people, pray. Pray, take authority, pray, Jesus.